Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to r/maliciouscompliance, where this poorly woman is forced to wait outside a hospital in 104 degree heat due to one horrible employee. Medical clerk made me stand outside in 104 degree heat, so I staged a mini revolution. Now Europeans, 104 degrees is 40 degrees Celsius, that's insane. This took place during the first summer of lockdown where I live. Some context for you. My town is basically on the edge of nowhere. We have a medical center for basic stuff, but a full hospital is 30 to 40 minutes in any direction, depending on where you chose to go. With that in mind, we get people from a huge surrounding area that go to our town center for tests, simple medical exams, etc. Maybe as many as 50 small communities use our center on a daily basis, so it is constantly busy. The center itself is quite small compared to hospitals in the city. The various clinics and a basic ER take up most of the space, with an area by the front doors for the public to sit in if they're waiting for a ride or someone visiting a doctor. It is that waiting area that is the cause for my story today. One day, during the first summer of lockdown here, I had to go to the medical center for tests. Some things to know about me. I am challenged with multiple disabilities. I'm legally blind, have significant mobility and balance issues, and a rather severe heart condition. As such, I use a walking frame and travel using the city's provided disabled transports. That particular day, I had finished my test early and had 45 minutes to wait until my transport was scheduled to return to pick me up. I figured, no problem, I'll just sit in the waiting area and, well, wait. I shuffled over to the seats with my walker, plainly evident, and was confronted by a new sign. Staff only. Say what now? I looked around at all the empty seats and vacant tables and turned to the clerks at the entrance. Can I please have a seat in the waiting area until my transport comes back? The clerk said coldly, no, it's staff only. You need to wait outside. I can't stand for 45 minutes waiting for my transport. I gesture to my plainly apparent walking frame that I was clearly leaning heavily on. Not my problem. There are benches to sit on outside. Yeah, but the benches are full and we're supposed to be social distancing, not cuddling up to random strangers on a park bench. If you want, I suppose I could let you take a wheelchair out and sit in that. And how am I to manage a wheelchair and my walking frame at the same time? Again, not my problem. If you want, you can call center management when you get home. Are we done here? I guess we are done, huh? And I went outside to find a spot to wait. Well, I stood outside for the 45 minutes while the sun beat down on what turned out to be a 104 degrees Fahrenheit day. Again, that's 40 degrees Celsius. That is insane. As I stood there, I noticed that there was a line of patients growing steadily longer, also standing outside in the heat, waiting to be let into the building. Some looked fit, but let's face it, nobody comes to a medical center because they feel 100%. Most of them actually look quite ill, and some were looking pretty faint by the time they got through the doors. By the time my transport arrived, I was badly sunburned, thirsty as heck, exhausted, and feeling more than a bit faint myself. My driver was shocked and insisted on walking me to my front door when he got me home to make sure I was okay. By the way, shout out to all transport drivers. You guys rock. The rest of the day was a complete loss. I spent it drinking water, sleeping, and nursing the burns on my shoulders and face. I was a right mess. The next day, however, I was fuming. I had plenty of time to recover and to think, and I kept coming back to that line of patients standing in the heat. The more I thought about it, the angrier I got. Cue malicious compliance. The words the clerk so smugly said, you can call center management when you get home if you want, danced through my sun-baked brain like a mantra. So I did it. I called center management. What followed was a half-hour conversation with the sweetest lady. She was so nice and so upset when I told her all that went on the day before. She was especially concerned when she found out about the line of people waiting outside. By the way, that turned out to be one of the hottest days that we had that summer. After our talk, the manager promised to look into it and get back to me. Now, normally that's sort of a brush off, right? Not so with this lady. 2 days later, she called me back. Turned out she had spent the day before sitting at the clerk's desk observing things that went on. Things like patients being forced to stand in the rain waiting to get into the centre, patients being poorly spoken to by that same clerk. And the cherry on top? At one point, a tiny elderly lady tried to sit down in the waiting area and that same clerk ran over and rudely shoved her aide and snapped, "Staff only," with her boss sitting right there. The manager went over, tore down the signs, apologised to the lady and helped her to a seat. Then took the clerk into her office for a chat. The results. The centre was immediately restructured. Staff were moved into an unused gift shop, the waiting area was returned to the public, and best of all, the registry desks were moved, so patients no longer had to stand outside waiting to get into the building. I never saw that clerk there again. Now look, I know this isn't as exciting as most stories on here, but knowing I was part of making things so much better for so many still makes me happy. Dang it, I am proud of my mini coup. Viva la resistance and all that rubbish. Hey guys, look, maybe I've got this wrong, but I thought that people who work in hospitals are trying to help people get better, not make them worse. Clearly, I've not done enough research here and not had enough experience, but I didn't know that. Fair enough. Genuinely though, like 40 degrees for 45 minutes. I don't think I've ever done that in my life. That is literally like being in a desert, isn't it? That's insane. The only time I've ever really experienced heat like that for a decent amount of time was probably in Qatar, but that was like for 10 minutes of walking. Then we had to go back inside, it was too hot. But by the way, shout out to OP for actually raising this as a point. But most of all, shout out to the call center manager for actually dealing with the problem, because it would have been so much easier just to, you know, say, yeah, sure, we hear your complaint, and then just, you know, leave it like you probably would expect. But no, she went above and beyond, and now everyone's lives have improved because of it. It's brilliant.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now moving on to our second story of malicious compliance. Look at this for a complex title. Yes, sir. Just a little indication as to what this story is going to be about. OP has given us a little TLDR at the top. As a soldier, my unit didn't respect my sleep time. They do now. Devil emoji. About 15 years ago, I was in the army, and I had what we'll call a very unique skill set. There were several people in my unit with that specific skill set, but for some odd reason, all of the hot 20 to 26 year old females got Monday Thursday shifts and had Friday, Saturday and Sunday off, while guys like me got Thursday to Monday night shifts, despite having seniority over some of the ladies in both rank and time on mission. To make things worse, administrative staff like our commanding officer and platoon sergeants, our bosses, worked Monday to Friday and weren't willing to budge on us being active during their work hours. This meant that quarterly training, like PowerPoints we had to watch for sexual harassment, typically occurred both on my day off and in the middle of my sleep time. Given that I worked 16-hour shifts and the round trip to base was an hour, I was perpetually sleep deprived. Even if I got off of work on time and went straight home, I could get optimistically 6 hours of sleep per day between driving, eating, and showering. This went on for years over my objections. Honestly, guys, if I could only sleep for 6 hours a day, I'm sure some of you are like that, and I feel bad for you, honestly, I do. I'd be such a bad person. I'd be so tired the whole time. I need my sleep, man. I literally went nearly 2 years without a day off, concurrently with my wife, a day worker. Interestingly, the army did a study demonstrating that after roughly 18 hours of consciousness, you make the same number of stupid and careless mistakes as if you were legally intoxicated. Sadly, no one told my PSG, platoon sergeant aka boss, also Paris Saint-Germain. He decided that sleep deprivation just didn't matter. In fact, one day when I was transitioning from a junior enlisted, technically a specialist, but if you're not familiar with army ranks, think private, to an NCO, sergeant, my PSG decided I needed some NCO responsibilities. Reasonable. We were having a range day. We had to qualify annually with the M16 rifle, and we needed a duty driver to shuttle soldiers back and forth from the barracks. I was voluntold. Suffice to say that I was on loan to a certain agency and I needed to put in an ops release to miss work. It was rejected due to staffing issues. At the time, there was no one else available that could do a certain thing that I could do. I told my PSG and he informed me that the ops release was a courtesy. I was going and it would only take 8 to 10 hours. But Sergeant, I tried to explain, I worked 16 straight hours leading up to the start of this driving and I'd have to work another 14 straight hours at the end of it. On top of that, as driver, I'd be driving soldiers down winding roads I'm not familiar with in a van bigger than anything I've ever driven before while half asleep. Then at the end of what would be a 40 hour shift, I'd need to drive 30 minutes to get home. Does that really seem safe? Safe? Specialist, do you think the soldiers in Iraq right now are safe? As I said, this was about 15 years ago. Well, no, but at least they're getting hazard pay. You're dismissed, specialist. Alright, so OP is about to embark on a 40 hour shift in which he is driving. That doesn't seem very reasonable to me. So, I mean, what could I do? I only fell asleep twice while driving, and both times were at stoplights. I also made every single passenger aware of my sleep situation. Keep in mind, I was already sleep deprived coming into this, so they made sure to chat with me, bring me coffee, and do other things that decreased their chances of dying in that van. Around hour 38 of this roughly 40 hour shift, an important person swung by my place of duty to check on something. I was literally standing up, leaning against a cubicle, eyes basically asleep, with four empty quad coffees. If Starbucks had a size above venti, it would be quad, sitting on my desk. Per tradition, there was an NCO with the officer. I got chewed out backwards, forwards, sideways, upside down, and in dimensions I was not hitherto aware of. By military protocol, the NCO beside the angry officer did the chewing out. He threatened me with actual dereliction of duty charges as well. This ended with, "Now explain to me, specialist, why on God's green earth you think it's okay to sleep on duty." So, I explained to him that I was literally semi-conscious on my feet. I drank so much coffee, I started having heart palpitations and decided to stop, and that it was hour 38 on duty and I was simply at my limits. I cannot stress enough that important people cared about what I was doing. A lot. Really important people. At this point, the officer steps in. "You've been doing this for 38 straight hours?" So I explained to her how I'd had to drive a van around during my sleep time, and this important mission had informed my unit that I was irreplaceable. But my unit decided it was critical that I, specifically the guy with the irreplaceable skill set who was working shift, be the duty driver that day. I further explained how this wasn't that uncommon. I couldn't even remember the last time I'd had a week where I was allowed to sleep during my sleep time for the entire week, uninterrupted. The number of silly things I had to do instead of sleeping was mind-boggling. "Who is your commanding officer?" I tried not to smile as I told her. "Carry on, specialist." Needless to say, by lunchtime, aka the equivalent of maybe 1 a.m. for me, I got a phone call. "Report to the PSG's office right now." I sighed. To say that I was sleepy was something of an understatement. And keep in mind, I got home around 8 a.m. and had to work again around 4 p.m. The round trip to base alone would take an hour. Plus, I had to get dressed, be presentable, and deal with their nonsense. Then undress again afterwards, then dressed again, and drive back. "Please explain to me why the command sergeant major just chewed me out over our in-house scheduling decisions." So I told him what happened. "Wait, you told him that? What, should I have lied to my mission commander about my level of readiness, sergeant?" He turned red. Like Santa's cheeks, not a Norse berserker. No berserker-like traits at all. Nope. I took a totally professional step backwards. He was about 6'2" and 250 pounds of NCO, and I felt like I was hogging all of his oxygen. "Get out." So I did. It came down from on high that our unit was to have two quarterly training days henceforth. No more waking our shift workers up 1 to 2 times per week, every freaking week, for administrative rubbish. Period. All missions were informed that our soldiers would be doing one of the two training days. Pick one. Happy ending, right? Yeah, that's never how it works in the military when you get someone above you in trouble. What's the nastiest, stupidest duty you can imagine giving someone that was stateside in a strategic unit? The urinalysis guy. For those of you that don't know, it's his duty to plan and execute urinalysis. This requires literally looking at your fellow soldier's junk because there are a variety of products that can fool a urinalysis, and the only way to, you know what, just trust me, it's nasty. Fortunately, there was a loophole. You see, the powers that be are aware of the good old boys system that develops sometimes in the army, and it's really, really important that the guy with the grenade launcher isn't also on crack. As a result, per regs as they existed at the time, and maybe even now, if the urinalysis guy calls a urinalysis, it takes a full bird colonel to cancel it. That's one step down from a general. That's right. When the urinalysis guy decides it's time for the monthly urinalysis, wake up, get in uniform, drive to where he says it's happening, and God help you if you've got alcohol or something in your system. To make matters worse for them, a friend of mine, let's call him Kroger, had been punished for having alcohol in his system during one of their urinalysis. It was on his days off because he was a shift worker, and it was during hours that were duty hours to the day workers, but off duty for us. So, I had about a year left, with no intention of re-enlisting, and my unit had already been slapped down by angry people for mucking with me. Let's do this. Malicious compliance time. Imagine this. It's 11 o'clock on a Friday on a long weekend. PM, that is. Long for them, not for me. You see, shift workers didn't get holidays off unless we took leave, and I needed mine for family time, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, because without it, I'd have been working every single holiday. The mission must go on, after all. Now, anyone that's ever seen an army movie knows that Joes like booze, and anyone that's ever had to do a urinalysis knows that they can detect alcohol. Mind you, being a urinalysis guy is a big deal. You're on legal orders and everything, entered into Big Army's database. Between the time I began the formal process of calling a urinalysis and the time I would have had them coming in, roughly 3 a.m. on their days off, since they'd established the precedent that soldiers don't get days off whenever we complain about losing sleep to stuff like this, my orders vanished. To this day, I don't know how they did it. I suspect that our CO or some other bigwigs were at a party or something and realised that they were about to have to explain to a full bird colonel how half of the unit pissed hot in a urinalysis, which would have required, legally, that colonel having a one-on-one chat with me about why I chose that time, and perhaps a discussion about how the unit was being run. Yeah, they never gave me another duty the entire time I had left in the army. I never had an issue with another leave request, and they generally just left me alone. At the time, I thought it was because I'd made my point that I was sick of their rubbish, but looking back, I wonder who would have come up positive for what specific drugs during that surprise urinalysis, such that they were able to rescind my big army orders in less than a day, and in the middle of the night at that. It does seem a little strange to me, honestly, that you were given all that power, OP. I would have thought that, you know, drugs tests are a very important thing. Well, they are, and therefore wouldn't be done internally, maybe by someone else or, you know, their own specific sector, but clearly not. Clearly they don't mind that much. I mean, that just seems a bit weird. Like, imagine the blackmailing you could possibly do. Say you said to someone like your horrible boss, oh, by the way, you're doing a drugs test tonight at 3 a.m. and he knew he was going to fail. You've got him in the palm of your hands right there. I mean, you did, clearly. It's a weird one that would be an internal thing, but hey, yeah, guess you got kind of lucky that it was given to you. You know what I just want to know though? What was his specialized skill? He never explicitly said it. OP, comment on this video and tell me. And also you lot watching, comment down below what you reckon his very unique skill was. I reckon it might have been party animal balloons. Who knows? Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this episode of r/malicious compliance. I haven't looked at this subreddit in quite a while, but honestly, I don't know why I forget about it. It's really good. If you want to see more from it right away, check out this video on screen. Drop a like on the video, by the way, if you did enjoy it. And comment if you want to see more from this subreddit. Subscribe here and turn the bell on so you never miss one of my daily videos. And with that all being said, I'll see you tomorrow with a brand new one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.